So that was a song called Old City Bar, and it was originally done by a band by the name of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Some of you may have heard of them. They're known more for Christmas music than they are for anything else. But they're also known for really, really good storytelling. And when Sue brought this song, this is one I actually had not heard, or maybe I had and hadn't put two and two together. I got really excited because I thought that it spoke very well and it captured very well what we're talking about today in week four of God's Welcome. We're talking today about the stranger without. And I think the places in our communities where we tend to encounter these people the most are places like an old ale house or a bar or a bookstore or a coffee shop. You know, places where we tend to run into people, where there tends to be an environment set up that invites us to want to engage them. And yet we also live in a culture where that's getting harder and harder to do, where there's more and more tension in those relationships. And so this morning, 1 Peter has some words of wisdom for us to help us better understand how can we exist in a world that no longer makes as much sense to us as it used to, and how can we learn to welcome the strangers that come into our lives at any given moment. And so we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It goes like this. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to gather as your community and to experience the gifts of your community, to experience the love of your community. And God, we also thank you for the gift of your word with its richness and profound implications for our lives. And we pray that we can hear it with open hearts and open minds. And we pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the first thing I'd like to do is invite you to take out your sermon notes. These are inside your bulletin. And just as a reminder, I didn't mention this before, but I want to make sure I do now, that your sermon notes are on both sides of the insert. And I hope that you were able to get a writing utensil on your way in, or that there's one in your pews, so you can follow along if you would like. So in our first service today, in the traditional service, this is a weekly staple, we always have a prayer of confession. And in our confession this morning, we confess that we are fraught with divisions. We confess that we are weighed down by tensions and things that break us apart. We confess that we yearn to be a community of believers. And we confess that for this to happen, that we needed to learn to live in community together. And for that to happen, that we needed God's help. And in our scripture this morning, that's essentially what 1 Peter is offering us. 1 Peter is talking about how do we exist as strangers in a strange land. Now, the author of 1 Peter is writing to a group of people called the Exiles of the Dispersion. Kind of a fancy way of putting it. The Exiles of Dispersion, they represent five churches that were in Asia Minor, which is today, modern-day Turkey. An exile, in this case, is not really anything profound. It just simply means someone living in a place that is not their home. You see, these churches were made up of primarily Jewish believers. And the Jewish people had been dispersed several times throughout their history because of foreign invaders coming in and conquering their land. Assyria, Babylon, and then later, Rome. So 1 Peter uses this term exile to evoke and to connect memories of Israel's past experiences of exile with their current challenges as the church. These are challenges that include being part of a community where you're ostracized, abused, and rejected because you have different values, different beliefs, and you represent an overall different culture. Now, if we're going to be honest, this is no different than the experience that, or the challenges, I should say, that many immigrants, African Americans, and indigenous peoples have in our country today. After all, American values and culture tend to reflect the values of Western European Christian culture. So how do you live and relate in a culture that is not your own? That is 1 Peter's concern for the exiles. And I would argue that is 1 Peter's concern for us today. Because we're not in all that different of a world, are we? So the exiles of the dispersion lived in predominantly a non-Christian world. A world that was in fact hostile toward their way of life. A world where it would have been easy and even convenient to respond in exactly the same way that culture responded to them. 1 Peter, though, offers another approach to this early church and to us. Hospitality. In this case, hospitality to what we might call the stranger without. Because when you're in exile, when you're living in a strange land, not only does everything seem strange to you, but every person you meet is likely to be a stranger of some sort. Now, when we talk about the stranger without, we're talking about those perhaps with different political or theological views. We're talking about those with different values, those with different beliefs, those that come from a different race or a different culture, those who are perhaps a different gender. In other words, strangers without could be anyone that is not just like you. It could be anyone that doesn't share your values, your beliefs, or culture. That's what makes the notion of welcoming the stranger without such a difficult one. Because if we're honest in our culture, we tend to treat the stranger with suspicion. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. There were a couple of great images up there that kind of reflected that fact. I mean, the reality is we treat strangers very much the same way that Christians were treated in the first century. We debate with them, we call them out, we ostracize them. We even sometimes behave violently toward them. We tend to, as 1 Peter said, repay evil for evil and abuse for abuse. Now, if you doubt this, just go on social media for 10 minutes. Read a page or two of the newspaper. Watch the news on TV for 10 minutes. Folks, we don't treat each other like we're human beings anymore. We treat each other with no shame, with indifference, and even sometimes we treat each other with hostility. Some of you know that I do a podcast and a blog called Rummaging Through the Covers. What you may not know is that I started that podcast and blog primarily because I was sick of seeing people fight and argue over everything. The lack of hospitality that was present in our culture, is present in our culture, was staggering to me, and it angered and it saddened me, and I wanted to do something about it. I wanted a space where we could talk about and hopefully better understand all the different viewpoints and beliefs in our culture. I wanted to create a space where the stranger felt welcome. And I wanted to be able to share that space with others. That's why I started my podcast and my blog. Because to me, welcoming the stranger without means that we don't participate in domineering debates or obsess over being right or repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse. These types of exchanges, they seek power more than truth, to quote Amy Oden. You see, domineering and the need to be right, that's all about us. That's all about our own stuff. That's all about making us feel better about ourselves. It has nothing to do with that other person. You see, God's welcome, on the other hand, is all about radical hospitality. Radical hospitality that is determined not to participate in scoring points or one-upmanship or even winning. You see, hospitality is concerned with tearing down dividing walls, not building them. And by the way, I think this needs to be said, offering genuine hospitality to a stranger, that doesn't mean we have to agree with any part of what they say. That doesn't mean we have to agree with any or every view or value that they have. To the contrary, welcoming the stranger simply means listening to them. so that we can better understand them. Welcoming the stranger means better understanding the truth of who they are. Now, to do so, 1 Peter tells us that welcoming the stranger requires that we receive them with a humble mind and a tender heart. Now, I love that image of a humble mind. It's not one that we tend to think about. But a humble mind, it speaks to that, or speaks to the fact that we need to be concerned more so with intellectual humility. Okay, a humble mind is all about intellectual humility, and it is not concerned with one-upmanship or the need to be right. Now, a tender heart, on the other hand, tender heart is one that's easily moved to kindness or sorrow rather than judgment. You see, having a humble mind and a tender heart, it's not a dumbing down of ourselves. It's simply ceasing our preoccupation with ourselves and the need to be right. It's attempting to try to sympathize, even empathize, with the person across from us. It's an attempt to try to learn and try to understand who that person really is. It's an invitation. This is another way to think about it. It's an invitation to this person to say, look, I'm here for you. And it's an invitation they might just return to us as well when they know that it is a safe place. You see, welcoming the stranger with a humble mind and a tender heart means seeing the stranger just as we see ourselves, as a child of God loved unconditionally by God. So then when we welcome the stranger with a humble mind and a tender heart, that means we receive them without trying to change them or fix them, or to judge them. I mean, how many times have we done that? Where someone has come to us with a problem, you know, maybe it's someone we know really well, maybe it's someone we don't, and our first inclination is we want to try to solve their problem. We want to try to fix them. When in reality, all they want is to be heard. They want somebody to say to them, I hear what you're going through, and I'm sorry. Another example I think about is with our children. We spend the first 10, 12 years getting to know our children, being able to anticipate their needs, knowing pretty much everything that we know about them, knowing how they're going to respond in different situations. And then they become a teenager. And you're like, who is this child? Because they come home, for example, with purple hair or a piercing or tattoos. And our first response is to try to get them back, turn them back into that child that we knew. When in reality, what they're looking for is love. Is someone to simply accept them for who they are, to let them figure out who they are, to come alongside them as they journey, or they go on this journey of self-discovery. So when we welcome the stranger with a humble mind and a tender heart, and I just want to say this again, it means receiving them without trying to change or fix or judge them. You see, when we're able to welcome the stranger with a humble mind and a tender heart, 1 Peter tells us that we repay them with a blessing. Kind of an interesting thing. You see, to repay them with a blessing is to actually refrain from the impulse to want to repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, and instead repay the stranger with sympathy, with kindness, with goodness, with mercy, with peace, patience, and ultimately love. And we repay the strangers with a blessing because God first did that for us. As Christians, we believe at one point we were estranged from God because of our sin. We believe that God sent Christ to welcome and repay us with a blessing by dying on the cross and resurrecting 3 days later, thereby redeeming and restoring our relationship with God. So to repay a stranger with a blessing is to show them that same hospitality that Jesus first showed us. Now, welcoming the stranger does not require that we abandon our position or values. Welcoming the stranger does not require that we avoid conflict or conversely, go and try to seek it out. Odin says that the first step of genuine, Odin says hospitality is the first step of genuine engagement. And sometimes genuine engagement can lead to genuine disagreement. And that's okay. I want you to hear that. That's okay. You know, sometimes after an encounter with a stranger, we'll walk away thinking, I just disagree with everything they said. The important part, though, is that you actually heard and understood what they had to say. You have a better understanding of who that person is and why. In other words, and this is another way to think about it, that person is no longer a stranger to you. I remember a number of years ago, my previous call, we had a member in our church who, his beliefs, his values were very, very different than mine. He was very, very conservative, and he tended to wrap what I would describe as New Age type of beliefs into his Christian beliefs. And I struggled with this, and for a while he and I would go back and forth and debate and argue, and we both were banging our heads against the wall. And I think we both felt like we were strangers to one another. On the one hand, he sees me as a pastor, thinking, okay, he should accept me for who I am, and here I am arguing with him. On the other hand, I'm seeing someone who's in the church, and I'm saying, you know, I have a certain expectation for people who come in the church, and yet this person doesn't quite measure up. And so finally, one day, we had a longer conversation. And I said to myself, and I prayed about this, and I encourage you to do the same. How can I be more present for this individual? Because I did not like myself. I did not like the way that our conversations went when we were arguing. It just didn't go anywhere. It didn't help anything. I didn't feel any closer to him than what we were before. And so I remember sitting in what was our teen room and we were talking. And I had heard this story before, but I heard it differently this time. A number of years ago, his wife had come to him and said she wanted a divorce. And so he, understandably, was very upset. And so he takes off in his pickup truck. And I can't remember exactly how it happened, but somehow he finds himself face to face with a tree. And his truck ruined and him pretty much dead. And he even shared with me that, you know, he died a couple of times on the operating table when they got him to the hospital. But eventually, the doctors were able to save him. And it was that experience that helped him to come to know that God was real, because he had experienced God in those moments when he was lying on that table. He could remember images. He could remember feelings. And that informed who God was to him. And so after hearing that, it changed my entire perspective of our relationship, because I felt like it was really the first time that I had heard what he had to say. It was the first time I really felt I understood why he believed what he believed. Now, I walked away still not agreeing with it, but that was okay. I didn't have to. That was not my job. That was not my role to agree with everything that he said any more than it necessarily was for him to agree with everything that I said. But we did understand each other better, and I especially understood him. And as a result, I felt, and I think we both felt, far more closer to one another than we had before. You see, hospitality, especially when we welcome the stranger without, ensures that we don't fall prey to the words, as Odin says, of an unengaged tolerance. Unengaged tolerance. When I think of unengaged tolerance, here's the image I have. How many of you know either the book or the TV show Peanuts with Charlie Brown? You guys seen this? Well, you may remember in the show, and if you don't, it may sound familiar anyway, that whenever the Peanuts characters, the kids interact with each other, you can always understand what they're saying and all that. But whenever you hear an adult or a teacher speaking, it's always wah, 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 wah. Okay? That's what we mean when we say unengaged tolerance. It's when somebody else is talking to us and all we hear is wah, 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 wah. We don't want to fall prey to them. And hospitality ensures that we don't. You see, the goal of welcoming the stranger is to understand as fully as you can who the other person is and why. In other words, to welcome their humanity, no matter what their values or beliefs are. And that's why I think we can say with almost complete certainty that welcoming the stranger doesn't happen all at once. Welcoming a stranger, folks, is hard work. Welcoming a stranger, it takes a lot of diligence and requires a lot of patience. And this is why I think in Odin, I had her on my podcast and she even said this, but I think it's important to hear that when we welcome somebody, we're not talking about welcoming somebody that is on the other side of the town, of our community from us, or someone that's even on the other side of the sanctuary from us. We're talking about welcoming the person who is right in front of us right now. And chances are that's going to be one person. That makes the task far less overwhelming. And I suspect the author of 1 Peter would not disagree. After all, he was writing to a group of people that he knew lived and worked in the same communities that they worshipped in. People that had laid down roots and probably considered their community home. People that were looking for a way to live while enduring some great suffering. And 1 Peter tells us that hospitality is the way. In fact, I bet he would say it is the only way. And that's because hospitality is what we are called to as Christians. Hospitality is how we live and relate to the larger world. Hospitality is how we endure the suffering and the hardships and the divisions and the tensions in our lives. Hospitality is how we show and remind the world of Christ's love. Hospitality is how we become this community together. It's how God, hospitality is how God brings us together. Hospitality is how we're able to say transcend and accept differences and respect one another in everything that we do and say. That's hospitality. That's what God calls us to. Now, I want to close with a story. This is from the Village Voice, which is a small local lifestyle newspaper in New York City. It actually stopped the paper printing a number of years ago and is now all digital. And there used to be a column in the Village Voice called Ask Andrew. And it was very similar to like a Dear Abby type of column. And so one time, and this was a number of years ago, a young man writes in to Andrew saying, or asking for advice on how to deal with the father whom he described as a super right-wing conservative who's turned into a total jerk intent on ruining their relationship and how people like his dad are going to destroy the world. Now, the young man goes on to describe himself as a liberal Democrat with very progressive values. And he says that whenever he and his father spend time together, all they do is argue. And even when they're not talking to each other, there's still this underlying tension that's present between them. And so the young man then goes on to make it clear that he loves his father, but that he wants to know how to explain to his father that his politics are turning him into a monster, that his politics are destroying the environment, and that his politics are pushing away the people who care about him. This is where the young man's letter ends. So that Andrew responds, and I love his response to this young man by saying to him, I want you to go back and reread your letter. And I want you to find a single instance where you referred to your dad as a human being. The fact is, you're not going to find one because there weren't any there. And then Andrew goes on to say to this young man that he has reduced himself and his father to a set of opposing political views and beliefs. And as a result, their humanity has been reduced to zero. And Andrew goes on to say, following his response to this young man, that the world isn't being destroyed by Democrats or Republicans or liberals or conservatives or religious or atheists. The world is being destroyed by one side believing they are truly better people than the other side. That's not hospitality, folks. In fact, I would argue that's the exact opposite. Hospitality welcomes all people, regardless of belief, regardless of values, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of culture, regardless of whatever, with intellectual humility and a tender heart. See, it's not about right, who's right and who's wrong. It's not about who's good and who's bad. It's about building a community. It's about learning to live and flourish together as the children of God. And if we can do this, the result, 1 Peter tells us, will be this unity of spirit. Another word that fits in there that you could translate it as is harmony. So I wanted a good experiment that you can try next time you encounter a stranger without. It's first, don't be afraid to ask them about their story. Most people are more than happy to talk about themselves. Then just sit back and simply listen. And if you need to, ask clarifying questions now and then. And then afterward, as you're processing the experience, which I think is a very important thing to do, ask yourself, what was hard about the experience? What was surprising or unexpected? What did you learn about the other person, about yourself, and about God? What would you do differently next time? What was the overall blessing of the experience? And what did you learn about hospitality because you welcomed the stranger? You see, truly welcoming the stranger without reminds us that God can love both me and you, even though we're different. Truly welcoming the stranger without reminds us that God is also calling us to do the same thing. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for welcoming us here. God, it's easy to imagine that we might seem like strangers to you sometimes, and yet you still welcome and love us as though you've known us all along, and we know you have. And so, God, we pray that we can learn to welcome the strangers in our lives, that we can do so with a humble mind and with a tender heart, that we can do so seeking to learn and to understand and to even sympathize with them. God, we pray that we can learn to welcome the strangers in our lives with love, so that we might tear down some of these divisions, so that we might release some of the tensions in our lives and discover the rich, rewarding, loving, blessing-filled community that you've promised us. God, we thank you, and we offer this prayer to you in your name. Amen. All right, so in your bulletin, there are two questions. And they are as follows. How do you usually react to people with different views from yours? That's number one. And then number two, to whom are you a stranger? How would you want your views to be welcomed? So I want to invite you to turn to the people that are around you, people that are close to you. If you'd like to move, please feel free. And take about the next 5 to 7 minutes and discuss these questions. Go to it.
No, yes. I got it.